listeners, before we get to this episode of Problem Solvers, here is a word from our sponsor.
How do companies keep their employees connected, motivated, and positive? It was an important question before COVID, but of course it's even more pressing now. And you can find great, important answers at WorkHuman Livestream. WorkHuman Livestream is a free online event for HR professionals, people leaders, and anyone who's curious about the future of work. It's being presented by WorkHuman, the leaders in workplace gratitude and social recognition, because they know this conversation has never been more important for employees and the companies they work for. Employees who feel connected to each other are more likely to perform better and be happier in their jobs. Now, COVID has changed how many of us work, possibly forever, and we need to adapt. This event will share thought leadership, inspiration, and ideas on keeping work human during this time and beyond. It will also contain a couple announcements that could literally change the future of work for the better. So register for free today at www.workhumanlive.com/stream. Again, to attend this valuable online event, register for free today at www.workhumanlive.com/stream.
And now, on with the show.
From Entrepreneur Media, this is Problem Solvers, a show in which entrepreneurs do what entrepreneurs do best, solve unexpected problems in their business.
We were completely wrong.
And I'm just like, it's not selling.
It was like, we have to start from scratch.
I'm Jason Pfeiffer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine.
I had traveled down to Atlanta to meet with Dwayne The Rock Johnson and his business partner Danny Garcia for a cover story in Entrepreneur. It runs in our April-May issue. And when we sat down, it was immediately apparent that every nice thing I had ever heard about these people was true. They're just genuine and curious, and they wouldn't even let me start interviewing them immediately. They just started almost interviewing me, asking about my background and what I do and what I'm interested in. And at some point I said this.
I actually don't do a whole lot of sitting down and interviewing people anymore because I'm mostly running the thing. But what I found was that I became, because I was going to say it, but I appreciate
it. Yes, that's right. A piece of audio I will savor forever. Dwayne Johnson calling me the man. Let's just hear it again. Yes, there are perks to this job. So here's why I went down to Atlanta to talk to them. It's not just because Dwayne Johnson is exceptionally famous, though, of course, he is. It's because behind that success is an extremely successful partnership. The two of them, Dwayne and Danny, have worked together in this really compelling way in which they have broadened their ambitions and broadened what could be possible in such an impressive and notable way. And I am always interested in how people can motivate and improve each other. And I thought that getting to know them and how they've done this would hold a lot of lessons for everyone. Because, yeah, fine, you are not possibly going to be the next Dwayne Johnson movie star extraordinaire, but you are going to build a brand that people love, that people connect with, and you're going to need to do that with people that share that vision and can expand that vision and can work in lockstep with you to execute and to push things beyond what you even thought was possible. And that is something that it doesn't matter what kind of business you're in, you need that. And you need that now more than ever, I think, when it's really important to band together and combine resources and combine visions so that we can all get through challenging times and get to the other side. So here's what I want to do for you in this episode of Problem Solvers. I wrote this long profile of Dwayne and Danny that runs in the magazine, and you should totally read it there. But I'm also going to functionally perform it for you here. And where I quoted one of them in the story or some other people that they work with, I'm actually just going to play you that little snippet of audio so that it feels like, you know, you're hearing them in their real, true own voice. So on this episode of Problem Solvers, it is the profile of Dwayne Johnson and Danny Garcia. We called it in the magazine 1+1=billions. And I'm really excited for you to hear it.
When you own a business, having people you can trust makes all the difference. The same goes for your bank. With U.S. Bank, you work closely with dedicated business bankers who get to know you and your business. And with their years of experience and financial expertise, you can trust you'll get valuable solutions for your business. We all need people we can trust and ask for guidance. And with U.S. Bank, you're never on your own. Schedule an appointment with the business banker at usbank.com/book. Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
And now, our next sponsor.
Here is perhaps the greatest challenge that every e-commerce company faces. It's fast shipping. Shipping in 2 days or less is the new standard. And as a growing business, how do you keep up? That's why there's Shippo, your business's new secret weapon. Shippo is the only shipping software for growing businesses that you can start today, set up in minutes, and then ship today. Because they ship hundreds of millions of packages, Shippo's volume discounts save you up to 90% off carrier rates. Simply connect your online store to Shippo. There's no coding or technical experience required. They will instantly identify the lowest shipping rates from 55 plus top global carriers like UPS, USPS, FedEx, DHL. Your orders are automatically pulled in and ready to go. Just click, print, and ship. Plus, automated return labels are free. You only pay if your customers use them. Companies that use Shippo save thousands of dollars, free up hours of valuable time, and on average grow 77% year over year. Join 100,000 companies like Goat, Hims, and MeUndies who are saving up to 90% off carrier rates with Shippo. And now, for Problem Solvers listeners, they are offering their best discount available anywhere. Get a shipping consultation and Shippo Pro Plan 6 month trial for free at goshippo.com/problem solvers. That's up to a $700 value for free at goshippo.com/problem solvers. Again, go right now and get your shipping consultation and Shippo Pro Plan 6 month trial for free at goshippo. Shippo is S-H-I-P-P-O. goshippo.com/problem solvers. So again, this is the profile, the cover story in the April issue of the magazine featuring Dwayne Johnson and Danny Garcia. And the question at hand when I walked into that room to sit down with them was, how do you build an exceptional partnership and how do you think together and expand your mission and your ambitions together? And so here's the piece along with the bits of audio from the folks I talked to. Again, it's called One Plus One Equals Billions. There is a before, Danny Garcia says, and there is an after. Here is before. It's around 1998, and at the time, Dwayne The Rock Johnson is a burgeoning wrestler in the WWE. Garcia is about halfway through a career at Merrill Lynch. They are newly married, eating dinner at a restaurant, and discussing Johnson's path.
I was having a little bit of a challenging time turning the corner in terms of my fame, and because I just, by default, I am more reclusive and quiet and prefer not to be in the limelight. And I also can't hide.
Let's be clear. He can't hide because he's enormous. His biceps then and now are the size of other men's heads. People were recognizing him from across airports and creating a mob scene. So sure, he had fame, but it seemed chaotic and uncontrolled and not advancing his ultimate goal. He didn't just want to be famous. He wanted to be bigger than that, more meaningful than that. But how? Johnson and Garcia were talking this over at their table when another couple approached. The people were shaking nervously. Excuse me, they said, but can we have your autograph? And Johnson was not in the mood.
And I coldly kind of Clint Eastwood looked up.
And he says, sure.
And instantly they went, I'm so sorry. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, no, it's okay.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm so sorry. And they felt so bad.
He signed his name to something and handed it over, and then they went skulking off. Johnson turned back to Garcia, and the horribleness of his action sunk in.
We immediately identified. I had an opportunity to make that person feel so good, and instead they walked away apologetic and awful when the reality is, I'm a lucky son of a bitch that somebody would care enough
sure.
to come up and ask for my autograph or a picture or sign something on a piece of paper.
Johnson and Garcia are analytical people. They like to break things down to see how A leads to B. So they decided to run an exercise.
And the exercise was, let's think about what happens when all of a sudden they're eating and they look up and there I am. Mm. What's the conversation they have
with
the husband and wife? Oh my God, there's the rock. I got to go over. No, 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 don't go over. Don't. No, I have to. I'm never going to go. No, I got to do that. No, yeah, don't. No, 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 don't. I got to. Hold on. Hey, and they work themselves up and they come over.
Sure.
And that was very helpful for us.
Yeah.
There is a before and there is an after, Garcia says. And that was the before. This is the after. At that dinner where Johnson and Garcia were puzzling over how to build his career, they'd suddenly been given an answer.
You also have this opportunity just to make people feel good.
Right. Yeah.
And that's a powerful thing to have.
It's a powerful thing for anyone to have. And everyone does have it. Every brand has it. Johnson and Garcia had intuitively known this. He once lived what he calls a circus life, traveling the country to perform in wrestling matches at flea markets and used car dealerships. The entire goal was to give people a great show, to make them feel good. Garcia, meanwhile, was the child of Cuban immigrants, with a father who worked in an auto body shop since he was 16 and who was ever grateful for his new homeland. Together, Johnson and Garcia understood the power of happiness, but in the haze of fame and the anxiety of career building, they'd lost sight of it. No longer. They saw it now, and they saw that Johnson was in a position to do it on a massive scale, because an emotion like this is bigger than any one person, no matter the size of their biceps. This is what people want, far more than they want a good wrestling show or a good movie or a good anything. They want a person who can deliver an experience. They want to be happy. But there was something Johnson and Garcia couldn't have seen back in 1998. At that time, they were not actually equipped to fully seize the opportunity. Not yet. To do that, they'd have to redefine their partnership entirely, because no business changes without the leaders changing too. So here's an exercise worth doing. Ask yourself, what am I at my core? We are salespeople or accountants or writers or investors or plumbers or actors or CEOs, but none of that is our core. That's just what we do. If you define yourself by what you do, then you are too easily disrupted. You could identify as a CEO, but your job could disappear. Then you are not a CEO, which means you are nothing. So dig deeper. What drives you? Why do you aspire to the things that you aspire to? What is the passion that deep down could fuel a dozen different jobs? I'll give you an example. I used to think of myself as a newspaper reporter and then a magazine writer, then a magazine editor. And then I realized that, no, these things are transient. They come and go. So what is my core? It is this. I tell stories in my own voice. I can do it here in this story or as an editor of the magazine or in a talk or the podcast or anything else where I control the narrative. That's my core. I communicate. Maybe at your core, you build or problem solve or impact your community. Today, my core has taken me to a film studio in Atlanta where I'm telling this whole crazy thing to Johnson and Garcia. It doesn't need a lot of saying, but they are not sitting at restaurants puzzling over Johnson's career these days. Garcia is his manager, and they are business partners overseeing a sprawling, complicated bundle of interests. There is Seven Bucks Companies, an enterprise that produces film, TV, marketing, and branding projects, which drove $1.9 billion in box office numbers in 2019. And as we talk, we're sitting in the production offices of one such project, a Netflix movie called Red Notice, which Johnson stars in. There's also The Garcia Companies, a holding enterprise that launches or manages investments in a wide range of businesses. And Garcia also manages the actor Henry Cavill. And of course, as stories about Johnson often stress, he has achieved the status of highest paid actor in Hollywood. But what I want to get is underneath all that. So the core. I'm telling them about my own experience as a big, elaborate way of asking for theirs. What are you at your core? The question is hard enough for one person to answer, but a successful business relationship requires two good answers. Two people who are self-aware enough to know what drives them and how their core missions are complementary. They ponder it for a moment after I ask, and Garcia goes first.
Focus. Mm-hmm. I have an incredible level of intense focus. Mm-hmm. Because, by the way, when you know your traits, you can build support around those traits to make sure they're there. And the other sort of idea was the ability to engage in the complete experience that was going on.
She doesn't want to just tell a story, she says. She wants to tell the story of the story, to understand the biggest of pictures. So this is her core. She digs deep while simultaneously floating above. Then it's Johnson's turn. To answer, he rewinds to another pivotal moment in his career when he finally identified his core. In the early 2000s, he was transitioning from wrestling into movies, and the road was bumpy.
The business that we were doing was okay, just in terms of the movie, in terms of the movies and the dollars that they were generating, but there was more. There was something more, and I couldn't, and I hadn't identified yet what that power foundation was yet. And then finally, I felt like, to identify myself, I realized that it was important not to be narrow, but we looked at it as a 10-lane highway. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to be a 10-lane highway approaching the world.
This is a good metaphor, so let's roll with it. Most people aspire to one lane. They want to own that lane, to go fast in that lane. But not Johnson. He was driving in one lane, but realized that there were actually 9 other lanes he couldn't see. He was stuck in one lane. His core was this: own all the lanes. So how did he plan to do that?
I felt like I had to do a clean sweep. So I completely cleaned the slate.
It was time for a new regime. New publicists, new manager, new everybody. And it needed to be led by someone who shared the vastness of his ambition. So in 2008, he chose Garcia. This was an interesting choice because 2008 was also the year that Johnson and Garcia got divorced. But they'd been friends since college, had remained friends despite the divorce, and she'd always been involved in his career, even as she'd risen the ranks to become a vice president at Merrill Lynch and then founded her own wealth management firm.
Danny's acumen was tremendous, and it was a very easy decision at that time.
Remember the core. A person isn't just the job they do or even the kind of relationship they have. They are defined by something deeper. Johnson knew this. He needed another 10-lane highway thinker. So what next?
He knew we had to do the work. Mm-hmm. So it's like, this is going to work. It's like, this should work.
Yeah.
We just have to do the work.
With Garcia on board, it was time to get everyone else in Hollywood on board, too. That was going to take a little more convincing. So they started with some meetings.
We would sit in a boardroom and we would have all the high-level execs were in there. I said, okay, we would like to build the biggest movie star enterprise on the planet. We would like to do that. But then we would also like to look at this where there's not just a limited amount of spokes in the wheel.
By that, Johnson meant he didn't want to limit his brand. It's a critical mindset. Malcolm Gladwell, the best-selling author and podcaster, once put this nicely to me. He said, "Self-conceptions are powerfully limiting. If you think of yourself as only one thing, then you have access to only one set of experiences and one potential set of accomplishments." Johnson wanted infinite potential accomplishments. Anyway, from those meetings, he remembers people saying, okay, great. How are you going to do that? And he'd say,
I'm not quite too sure how we're going to do that, but we have faith and we have the ability to put in the hard work with our two hands.
This is a classic Dwayne Johnson, like, I'm not sure how we're going to get there, but I know we're going to get there.
But I know we're going to get there. And you have to believe, take the step off the cliff with me and with us.
And that's critical, isn't it? You're not just telling people what your vision is. You're exciting them to be along with you on your vision.
So we will be in these meetings and I say, here's what we're going to do. It's going to be incredible and we're going to trailblaze and it's never going to be, it's never been done before. Mm-hmm. We're going to put in the hard work. I need everybody to buy in. And everyone, of course, are like, okay, we're going to buy in. Even if you can't see it, mm-hmm. we're going to make it happen. Okay, great. I'm going to leave the room. Danny's going to take over.
That's how we figure it out.
It's like literally putting someone between a rock and a hard place. The rock leaves, and now Garcia has the hard work of executing. Garcia has a philosophy on growth, and it goes like this. Don't be the wrong kind of disruptive. It's good to challenge the way business is done, but it's not good to make abrupt and unearned change. Richard Branson doesn't suddenly appear on Broadway, and McDonald's doesn't release a $75 dry-aged steak. If a person or a company wants to grow in a new direction, then Garcia believes they need to do it deliberately, step by step, to bring their customers and partners along with them. This meant that Johnson couldn't go from 1 to 10 lanes of a highway all at once. They needed to plot a course, lane by lane. And so the most logical first step was to gain more control of the movies he was in.
The evolution of that was, can we have more control? Can we put our point of view? So the idea of the production company was very natural. It was the next evolution.
But rather than just launch a production company and insist on control, Garcia stuck to her philosophy of moving step by step.
We were always did the work first to validate the credit that came.
In Hollywood terms, here's what that means. When a star signs on for a movie, they typically send in a few pages of notes focused solely on themselves, which lines they'd like to improve, what scenes they'd like to change, ways they can look better and cooler. But Garcia decided to think bigger. She assembled a team and, with Johnson, built a production company called Seven Bucks, which is named for a moment early in Johnson's life before wrestling, when he was cut from the Canadian Football League and only had $7 in his pocket. And then, even though Seven Bucks wasn't actually producing any of Johnson's movies, the company just started acting like it did. This meant carefully combing over entire movies, looking for opportunities to enhance every actor's role, not just Johnson's.
So how can we improve the other characters?
This is Hiram Garcia. He's Danny Garcia's brother and an old friend of Johnson's, and he serves as president of production at Seven Bucks' TV and film arm, and he was in the room when I was speaking with them.
What thematically can we do for the whole movie to make it better? You know, what scenes can we do? And they would start getting notes on an entire script when the norm would be just getting notes on, oh, I just want to make sure my guy says this and make sure he looks good at this scene.
And I need to get more from my guy.
Their first big attempt at this was on the movie Journey 2, where they focused a lot on helping Johnson's co-star, Josh Hutcherson. They also joined the studio's marketing meetings, which is something an actor's team rarely does.
We were comfortable with knowing right now we're going to put in the work.
Yeah.
You may not give us a credit now, but we're going to become powerful producers in this business.
In time, the studios did give them credit and did start paying them. And Seven Bucks would go on to produce all of Johnson's work, from Jumanji to the HBO show Ballers, as well as many projects he's not starring in at all. So that was another lane of the highway.
And then social media happened in a big way, and Dwayne joined social media.
Social media is a business built on irony. It's driven by authenticity, when an Instagram or Twitter feed feels like the product of one person's hands and eyes. But as any social media influencer will tell you, quote-unquote, authenticity does not happen by accident. It is the product of strategy. Posts are crafted and scrutinized. Data is examined. Learnings are extracted. Authenticity is what happens when willingness meets persistence. Johnson went all in here, growing an Instagram following of 173 million strong, at least at the time of this recording. And his colleagues, well, of course, they always describe this in personal terms.
Dwayne treats that as a personal relationship he has every day.
That's Danny Garcia, of course. And here's Maya Lazary, the chief marketing officer at Seven Bucks Companies.
He's always giving his fans a front seat to his everyday life.
But entrepreneurs should know, effective social media does require more than that. And if you look closely at The Rock on Instagram, you can see signs of it. The front row seat to his everyday life is photographed beautifully and often packaged into video. That is a financial commitment to an on-the-go team whose cameras are trained on him. In fact, during Entrepreneur's photo shoot and then the interview I did with Johnson and Garcia, their team filmed the entire process for later use on his social feeds. Most cover subjects do not do that. He also regularly posts extravagant, quote-unquote, cheat meals. They're awesomely indulgent food that breaks from his strict athletic diet. And that is what social media managers would call a franchise or a repeatable concept built around what gets a great audience response. Everybody with a personal brand should develop their own franchises. There's something else you'll see throughout his social channels. Things for sale. Everything that Johnson and Garcia have built or invested in, from movies to brand partnerships to a tequila called Terramana that they just launched and also conveniently brought to the Entrepreneur photo shoot, that makes careful appearances. And on this, Lazary, the CMO, can offer a takeaway for other entrepreneurs.
One of the biggest learnings we found is that the more the audience sees just how truly involved DJ is from the production of whatever the business is, all through the marketing campaign and to when they can buy the ticket or order the item or whatever it is, when they can see just how closely involved he is in the process and every single step of the way, they're so much more interested.
That insight helps inform those posts. It's not enough to just show a product and say it's for sale. No, you lead the audience into it and make them feel a part of the process. Johnson tastes the tequila. He refines the tequila. He thinks about the tequila. He works on the tequila. And then at the end, he doesn't really need to sell it. The audience has already bought in. And by the way, that's ditto for the story you're reading right now or that I'm reading to you. Johnson posted an image of our interview a full month before it hit newsstands, which was to our great surprise and delight. Now, this is a valuable formula because the end result, the sales, helps them continue to expand into other lanes of that highway. And that's what they started to do once they'd established ownership in Hollywood.
Then we have a conversation of, take a look at this is our history within the WWE. This is the amount of merchandise mm-hmm. that people have engaged with, right. with Dwayne. Translate that to, this is why we should do this partnership with Apple, or this is why we should, this is why Project Rock is fantastic. You know, you can begin to give an example and case studies, which is what, you know, people want to take a leap of faith.
Sure.
But we help them to take a leap of faith.
Some of those projects felt obvious, like pairing Johnson with wellness or entertainment brands. There is, for example, Project Rock. That's the brand partnership with Under Armour you just heard Garcia reference. In October, they're also debuting Athleticon, a two-day fitness event in Atlanta. They also invested in and serve as advisors to the water company Voss and social media ticketing platform Adam Tickets, and there's more. But you don't build a 10-lane highway just by doing the expected. Those are simply the starting points, the places from which Garcia can execute her philosophy of deliberate, step-by-step, bring the audience along with you disruption. And that is how they ended up also investing in and advising a quirky Portland-based ice cream company called Salt and Straw.
I was not looking for this at all. It was completely serendipitous.
That's Salt and Straw's co-founder and CEO, Kim Malik. Malik's friend had been doing some work with Garcia and offered to put the two in touch. Malik was hoping that Garcia might become a Salt and Straw advisor and maybe even a board member. Some emails turned into a meeting in Los Angeles, which was supposed to be 45 minutes, but went on so long that Malik missed her flight. The two companies just found a lot of common ground. They both think of themselves as storytellers. $7 with its myriad of entertainment and marketing projects, of course, and Salt and Straw in the way that it develops flavors. For example,
in September, we work with the fourth graders closest to each of our stores and collaborate with the students on an ice cream menu, which is the funniest one. And we've had the symphony into our kitchen and interpreted their music into ice cream.
Soon, the Salt and Straw and $7 teams were brainstorming all sorts of projects, which eventually led to Johnson and Garcia investing in the ice cream company, and then the ice cream company releasing a series of Johnson-themed Dwanta Claus flavors, with a portion of the proceeds going to the Make-A-Wish Foundation.
I think they were excited about the opportunity, you know, to move into other areas that maybe weren't as obvious, you know, from the entertainment industry.
And with good reason. The ice cream sold out in 2 days and has benefited Salt and Straw in ways that Malik could not have anticipated. As she scouts locations for new stores, for example, landlords return her calls a lot faster now. Though Dwanta Claus did leave some people scratching their heads. I mean, Dwayne Johnson, the very picture of fitness, promoting ice cream? But Malik got it.
I just think the power of their appeal to everybody. They're a unifying force in the world. And we need that, you know? And if you think about it, ice cream kind of is that too.
It sounds exactly like the insight Johnson and Garcia had years ago, that their big opportunity wasn't just to make movies or sell products. It was to make people feel good. And Salt and Straw just confirmed it. So what's the difference between an ambitious business and a business that's achieved many of its ambitions? There's scale, obviously, more money, more work, more people, but there's also risk tolerance. You might think that larger organizations have more to lose, but Garcia sees it differently.
We were actually very risk adverse.
She's talking about their early days here.
Because we didn't have that understanding of the audience, where who is he as
yeah.
much. Mm-hmm. But as you become more mature, it's different than corporate. You can actually take greater risk mm-hmm. because everyone has a sense of who this individual is.
Yeah.
And so therefore the extensions make more sense.
By individual, she means Johnson, of course, but the same can be said of any organization. Once customers understand and love a brand, they'll follow it too. Now, that may sound like common sense, but what Garcia says actually goes against the natural gravity of most companies. Maxwell Wessel, the chief innovation officer of SAP, once wrote this in Harvard Business Review, quote, "Big companies are really bad at innovation because they're designed to be bad at innovation," end quote. Once a company succeeds at something, he argues, it learns to do that thing as efficiently as possible. It stops discovering new things and becomes an expert in itself. That's when it stops taking risks, which is when a smaller, more nimble competitor can come along and destroy it. That's Blockbuster versus Netflix and Sears versus Walmart versus Amazon. It's an old story. This can happen with a leader, too. A leader can be amazing at overseeing one phase of a company, say the startup phase or the cleanup phase or the first burst of growth phase. They fashion themselves as the right leader for the moment, and they serve it perfectly. But when the company enters a new phase and needs them to be a new kind of leader, they're unable to adapt. Great and enduring leaders, therefore, are the ones that can change along with their company. They're a new kind of leader at every stage. So what does that look like for Johnson & Garcia as Seven Bucks and the Garcia companies have taken up more and more of that 10-lane highway? How have they become different leaders than the way they began? That's what I asked them.
Oh, that's good. Take that one. You're doing so well with your answers. Myself, yes,
I can tell you, but if you miss something, I knew I can.
Okay.
So Johnson defers to Garcia, but she has a ready answer.
What we did this year, we did not do last year. We are not attached to process. We are only attached to outcome.
Garcia's process has changed a lot over the years. She used to be involved in every conversation and all logistics, but that's not what her company needs anymore.
I went from very hands-on in there, logistically speaking to every individual right there next to him all the time, into moving into a position where now I needed to see how, who he was with the audience, who he was not only with the audience, but with the studio partners, and making sure that the film, Dwayne, audience, studio partners connected. So I became a different type of producer instead of a producer of film. Moving to this chairwoman position now, where my individuals are now, it's how do all these enterprises work together? How are they tied to what's happening in the global economy? How does it tie to the global audience that he now represents? Who is he today after every film? And how does that tie back?
Johnson actually has a similar perspective. Leadership for him involves asking a lot of questions and constantly forcing himself to see things fresh.
I've felt my leadership ability and qualities grow, but could not have grown, I think, without the capacity to go, okay, let's always think this is my first day of school, first day on the job, and I don't know shit.
And that's good. That's a healthy perspective to have for any leader. But Garcia makes this really interesting point about the unique position that Johnson is in.
As it's an interesting leader because he's a leader in the center of an enterprise where he's also the deliverable, right? So that requires no one can be more invested in himself than him. Like I am, and everyone else is, but he has to hold the standard knowing that this is being built around me. So what is it? What do I need to do?
He's the deliverable. He's one of the leaders, and he's also the product being delivered. And yeah, Johnson agrees. He must be as good as everybody's expectations. He has to be the hardest worker. How do you manage that?
For me, what has really helped me is just leading by example, really leading by example and always putting in the work. And if we fail, it's okay, we fail, but I'm always going to put in the work. So everything that I ask of the employees, hard work, these guys will tell you, you know, we'll fly to China, we'll land in Beijing, land at 4 a.m., we will immediately go to the hotel, then we're going to go to the gym, and then we're going to start our day. And it is a long day of prep.
Right.
But I'm right there with you.
Yeah.
And we're going to do it together.
These answers should sound familiar. In the beginning of my conversation with Johnson and Garcia, we talked about our core. What is the thing that fuels us? The thing that we know how to do best? Garcia said that it was to engage in the complete experience, to simultaneously dig deep and see the big picture. Johnson said it's to be a 10-lane highway approaching the world. They figured out these things years ago when Johnson was just a guy puzzling over his fame. Now, their place in the world is very different. Their lives are defined by billion-dollar deals. But when I asked how they evolved as leaders, they just restated a version of their cores. You just heard it. Garcia digging deep and rising above. Johnson seeing massive opportunity and being fully committed to owning it. That's what happens when you have a well-defined core and when you understand exactly how well it interlocks with your partners. Lots of things will change after years of experience and billions of dollars, but the core will not change. It cannot.
Because the process, it just, it continues. It's just a cycle.
Sure.
It has to refine. Yeah. It has to improve. Yes. It has to match.
Do you know, that's the spirit of an entrepreneur, where it's this idea of go, and push through and get your hands dirty and eat shit, and do that, which are all the things you got to do.
Yeah.
But also the refinement that Danny's talking about is so critical that we always like to pass on to anybody with an entrepreneur mind or spirit, or anybody starting a business, or anybody just ready to go out there and tackle the mm-hmm. world, is refining it along the way and making sure that we're not adding more hours to the day. Yeah. Just being really smart about all the hours that you're putting in.
Let that sink in. What they said, the process, it's just a cycle. It has to refine. It has to improve. The refinement is so critical, they say. But you know what? The starting point, the core, that's everything.
And that's our episode. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to Problem Solvers wherever you get your podcasts. We come out with a new episode every Monday morning, and you don't want to miss it. And hey, be kind. Pass the show along to an entrepreneur friend who could use a boost. And did you solve a problem that would be good for this show? Let me know about it. Visit my website, jasonfeifer.com, JasonFeifer.com, where you can find my contact information and all sorts of other valuable info. Problem Solvers is a production of Entrepreneur Media. Be sure to visit entrepreneur.com for all your entrepreneurship needs. And even better, subscribe to our magazine, which is just full of the smartest entrepreneurs solving the toughest problems. My name is Jason Feifer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine. Thanks for listening. And hey, let's go solve some problems.